This is Brittany Dial on the Dial. I know last week was my last week on the station, but I actually came back for a very special interview. This is Central Indiana Today, and my special guest is Mrs. Teresa Brandon, and she is here with Central Indiana K-9. So, Teresa, can you tell us a little bit more about Central Indiana K-9?
Well, I sure can. First of all, thank you very much for having me on today, Brittany. It's a pleasure to be able to sit here with you. The Central Indiana Canine Association is a not-for-profit organization that was recently founded by both myself and Kyle Schaefer, who serves on the Hendricks County Sheriff's Department. He is the lead canine trainer for there. I actually reached out to them earlier in the year in January to talk about the possibility of creating a nonprofit. And we met a couple of times and felt that we both had a vision of something that we wanted to do that was directly related to canines. In fact, you'll often hear Kyle and myself say, it is just about the dog.
I understand you have some history working with military and police dogs in the past. So what other projects have you worked on besides Central Indiana K-9 to get you started with Indiana?
Well, to tell you the truth, I actually did live and work and retired down in the Dallas, Texas area about 6 years ago. And after I retired, or before I retired, actually, I had founded a nonprofit down there called the Cedar Hill Pet Memorial Project. There was actually a historic pet cemetery down there that was almost lost. And unfortunately, because there were no laws in the state of Texas protecting the property, when the owner deserted the property, I decided I needed to do something. I couldn't just walk away. I had a couple of pets buried there, and it was just a lovely little community asset. So I formed a nonprofit. We raised the money. We went on the auction block, saved the property, and then myself and another Hoosier, Nick Collins from Fort Wayne, Indiana, as a matter of fact, was working with me on that project, and he said, why don't we do a war dog monument? And I said, great. So that's what we did. We started looking at building a war dog monument, which we actually did down there. I'm going to share a picture with you so you can have that for your listeners and for the rest of your audience, because it's pretty incredible down there. We love that piece. As a result of that, we actually decided that we wanted to build something else that was going to help the canine handlers and their retired dogs. When those dogs retire, Brittany, they have given so much that, unlike our couch potato pets that sit around and not do a whole lot, these dogs put their life on the line every day. In fact, when you look at the logo for our organization here in Indiana, we have a little thin blue line that goes through the nine that actually represents the dog who puts himself between harm's way and the police officer. So when Nick and I first established that down there, we reached out to some police officers and other folks, firefighters, who have canines, working dogs, and talked about setting up a special medical emergency grant fund to help them. Because when those dogs go home with the handler after they retire, the full financial responsibility falls on that handler. And the last thing we want to do is have that handler go into extreme debt trying to care for this animal or make an awful decision where they can't afford it and have to euthanize the dog. That's not a very nice way to say thank you.
And I see here that there are three different phases that you were looking at for Central Indiana K-9. So the shadow fund, which is what you were just talking about for the medical grant. But I also see that you're interested in having a training site and a war dog monument. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I can, and absolutely, you are spot on. We start with the shadow fund, where canine officers around Central Indiana and the nine counties can actually apply if they have a retired canine that's a working dog and may need some financial assistance. The other two programs, as you mentioned, the training site, Kyle and I have talked about that, and we want to actually set up a location where a permanent training site could be established. We're hoping that there'll be someone who can donate 3 to 5 acres to the organization, and that we can build that permanent site for them. Part of that has to do with the fact that we want the canine officers to have a ready location to go to, and it's also available across multi-agencies, whether the law enforcement, Homeland Security, firefighters, just any number of search and rescue. There's lots of ways that we have working dogs in the area. So we want to have a permanent training site. We're not looking to do the training ourselves, but simply to have the location. The other thing is to do our own war dog monument right here in Indiana. I got to tell you, there have been a lot of states around the country who've been building their own monuments to canines. And being a Hoosier born right here in Brownsburg and the Central Indiana area, I absolutely want to do that.
Now, with the training site, how important is it that we have a training site? Are there any other training sites in Indiana for police dogs or military dogs?
And that's a great question. There are some. There are a variety here and there. But there isn't one that's large enough and has the kind of training site that we want to have, both outdoor and an indoor facility. Part of that is to help bring in trainers to help the trainers, the canine trainers and handlers in Indiana. For the most part, a lot of them have to travel out of state of Indiana in order to get their training. So by having this, we can have multi-agencies across Indiana do training at the same time. This is a real benefit to the community too. When you think about our tax dollars that helps to pay for and support those canines with the various law enforcement, if they have an opportunity to train across agencies, they actually will get better at that and have better coordinated activities. Because quite frankly, what people don't realize is they already help support each other. There are times that the Hendricks County Canine Unit will work in the Avon area or the Plainfield or the Brownsburg area. I mean, it just really depends. And there are a lot of small communities that might have a need for a canine unit. And so there's a lot of cross purposes there.
And can you tell us a little bit more about the shadow fund? So I know it's very important that these dogs have the medical care, but what exactly is this going towards?
That's a great question. The shadow fund is a fund that people will submit a grant request. It is a grant, so they don't have to pay it back. It could be a small amount of money. It could be a larger amount of money. And a lot of different factors go into determining that. But the board of directors themselves actually will make that decision case by case. Now, it could be anything from special diagnostics to medication, to therapy, to serious operations. There's just a whole gamut of things that these dogs go through physically. The cost can really range. Give you a good example. Deputy Kyle Schaefer's dog just got retired. He wasn't expecting it, actually. It was a surprise. He had discovered, unfortunately, that his dog, Canine Bach, has congestive heart failure. Well, that doesn't require surgery, but it does require three different medications every day. Since the dog is retired, that now falls on Deputy Schaefer. He has to pay for that. And it's about $150 a month on just the medications for his dog. And certainly he's going to pay that because he feels obligated to take care of this dog that's under his care now. But I've seen another dog down in Texas recently went through a massive surgery, and that's going to run into the thousands of dollars. Now, as far as we go, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, we'll pay that full bill. It all depends on several different factors, the parameters that the board decides on, the amount of funds that we have in that account. And that's another reason why I'm very grateful that you're allowing us to reach out to your audience today, because I want everybody to know we can serve those who have served us through only your assistance.
Of course. So these dogs, they don't just choose to retire them at a certain age, do they? How long do they work? When do you retire a dog?
You know, again, it's kind of like the proverbial, it all depends. It depends on how the dog is reacting. In the case of Canine Bach, they were expecting at least another couple of years of service from him. But the dog cannot work with congestive heart failure. He literally, it would kill him to keep him on, and it's not effective. It's not effective for the dog and for the law enforcement, but certainly not for Deputy Schaefer either, since he relies on him to help. So in some cases, you'll have some dogs that'll go all the way up until time it's to retire, which could be around age 11, 12, which is fairly old for a canine. Not all dogs have the ability to retire because it's so hard on them. Some of them don't live long enough to retire.
These dogs around the state, there's a lot of them that are giving a lot to their counties and their communities, and they ask for so little in return. How many dogs are you expecting this to help? So are you looking at police dogs, military dogs? Are there other dogs that can benefit from this?
These are all working dogs that we're talking about, and that's specified by the fact that, one, they have to have a certification, whether it's for narcotics tracking, bomb sniffing, search and rescue. They all have an area of specialty. Some of the dogs actually have a dual purpose is what they call it. They may be both a tracking as well as a narcotics dog. So they serve a great deal to the community. Their additional service is also in terms of their deterrent, a natural deterrent. Somebody sees a police officer with a dog, they're less likely, if they have the wherewithal, to not go there and not challenge that officer or not perform any kind of a criminal act. So those dogs can act in that way. They also act as a goodwill gesture, building a good bridge between law enforcement as well as the community. Everybody loves a dog. Everybody loves animals in generalities. So we like that. But those dogs do serve a very serious purpose. They help us, the community, and they help that officer make sure that they get to go home at night to their own family.
What are the qualification criteria? If somebody has a dog and they're interested in taking advantage of the shadow fund, what is the criteria for that?
Great question. There are three main criteria. The first one is they must be certified in one of those areas of expertise that I just mentioned. They'll actually receive a certificate after they successfully complete a training program. The second thing we need to see is a bona fide letter stating that they are fully retired from a specific agency, whether it's law enforcement, Indiana Homeland Security, a military unit, or a fire agency. The third thing that we need to see and have proof of is that that handler who claims that this dog is now his responsibility was in fact assigned to him, retired to him, or purchased by him. So we need to have those three main criteria first and foremost. The second part of that is that we need to make sure that we have full documentation from a veterinarian that says this dog is ill or is incapacitated or has some serious illness and it costs X number of dollars. So the canine handler will at that time present to us all this documentation plus an application, which everybody can find online at our website. And that website is www.cik9.org. And look for the Shadow Fund on that website, and you'll be able to pull up the application and actually fill that out and submit that.
So I understand that this is a 501c3 status nonprofit. If there are people listening that are interested in donating time, money, or just interested in learning more about the project, where can they go to do that?
Well, I would strongly suggest, first and foremost, that they go to the website. You can check out the several different pages on there. For instance, we have a page called From the Field. And I love this piece because there's once a month we have a new article, and they're written by the canine officers themselves. In fact, this month's article is written by Tom Owens. He's a sergeant with the Avon Police Department. And Tom wrote about his past canine Hunter. After Hunter had retired, he needed some serious medical needs. Fortunately, Sergeant Owens did not need to have additional help because he was able to get that through his department. But that isn't the case normally. The other thing on there is anybody who would like to sponsor us, take a look at our sponsor page because you will see we relish the opportunity to say thank you and to highlight those people who support us. Because after all, we can't do what we do to help them without your help. So you also asked about how people can support. We certainly are looking for volunteers because we do various activities that we're going to need individuals to help us as far as setting up a booth somewhere. We have some other events coming up. For instance, like in September, we're looking to do the Quaker Day event down in Plainfield, and we're going to have a canine demonstration down there. So we're going to need people to help us do the setup for that. We're also always looking for people who have a specific talent, people who want to help us do some kind of a special project. We've got a couple of those coming up as well. And if anybody has any questions or ever wants to reach out and hear from us, just send an email to info@cik9.org, and we'll make sure that the correct person gets to you.
You mentioned that this nonprofit is open and accepting applications for the Shadow Fund from Central Indiana, but which counties exactly is that offered to?
Well, thank you. That's a great question. We actually cover 9 counties that are surrounding Marion County. That's Boone, Hamilton, Hancock, Hendricks, Johnson, Madison, Marion, Morgan, and Shelby. We're always looking for an opportunity to share this information. If anybody is interested in having me as a guest speaker at their event to share with their board or with their organization or would like to donate, please do contact me, Teresa Brandon, at info@cik9.org.
Thank you so much, Teresa. This nonprofit is really interesting, and I do think that a lot of the canines out there will need our help. So I think it's really great that we have the Shadow Fund training site and War Dog Memorial. And I hope that other people out there will be able to take advantage of the services that this offers, or hopefully they'll be able to help out with this project as well.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. It's great to be able to come back home to Indiana and to serve my community as I have the rest of the nation.